Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Everyone, it's Linda Ockard-Jenner here again, co-founder of the Small Business Community Network with another SBCN Small Biz podcast. Today we have Brodie May, who is a fractional CMO, one of our SBCN members. I met him for the first time a couple of weeks ago at one of our events, and he was quite the popular person to talk to. I actually have no idea what a fractional CMO is, but today Brodie wants to talk about, what do you want to talk about, Brodie? What topic did you come up with?
Yeah, so I can, you know, go through an introduction, describe what a fractional CMO is, and then I think what would be most beneficial to members, and this is from experience and speaking to them both at the event and in conversations thereafter, would be local SEO. I think that's a big pain point for businesses in the area. So we can talk about that and just kind of scratch the surface and dive into any other questions you have.
That sounds fantastic because, as I explained to you earlier, I'm not at all techie, and it sounds very good, a fractional CMO. Do you split yourself into lots of different bits and pieces, and are you going to different organizations when you're just one person, Brodie?
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. So, in my day job right now, I'm the director of SEO and innovation at a B2B SaaS company in Boston. So basically what that means, B2B being business to business, SaaS being software as a service. So something like Zoom or, Adobe, Photoshop, and all those are SaaS products, right? They're technology that you pay a subscription for, like anything else. So my day job is actually doing SEO for these large tech companies, a lot of AI companies. And aside from that, when I'm working at these companies, I'm usually working with their CMO, their chief marketing officer. So it's really like big players, and these companies are, you know, 100 million to a little upward of $1 billion with a B. And we're consulting. I'm consulting with them to help for their organic strategy. I don't know how many of that level of customers are within this community, but it's just, you know, maybe one day.
Jumping in very quickly, this podcast is not just for SBCN members. It's a worldwide podcast, and we get thousands of unique visitors. It's on Apple, it's on Spotify, lots of platforms pick it up because we have such interesting guests like you. My question is, if it's a million-dollar company, why would they need someone like you to consult with them if you're there for a short time? So how long do you work with these companies normally?
Yeah, so it's more like, with these large companies, let's say the ones that I work with on my day-to-day job, they actually have CMOs. So they're paying, on the minimum side of the CMO position, you're paying out, you know, $250K US. And for a company large enough to afford that, that's fine. It's like, you know, table stakes. But for companies within a maybe $10 to $100 million range, you don't, a CMO really doesn't make sense because, you know, if you have 10 million, if you're doing revenue, like if you're a HVAC company in the area, you're doing maybe $10 million in business. You're maybe at the point where you've hired a web guy, you have a, you know, marketer on your team, somebody who's taking care of social. You're hiring somebody to create promotional content. So you have all these positions, but typically you're hiring people out of school. Maybe you're getting a subsidy. You've hired them out of a type of program. And so all of these roles are, you know, maybe an introductory salary of 50, 60 grand per year for some of these students out of university. Mm-hmm. But what happens, and I've seen this for many years before I was working out of Boston, I worked for Intrigue Media out of Guelph, which is a really great agency.
Oh, Intrigue Media. I love them so much. They're absolutely wonderful. We've been to some of their networking events. And what I like about them, they've got a really good brand and they're very friendly and down to earth. So when did you work with those guys?
I worked for Intrigue essentially over COVID. So maybe that was like 2021 or 2020 to like a little bit more than a year ago.
Nice.
And they're just great. The whole team's amazing. And they work with a lot of local companies that have really grown. But the thing is you, as a business owner in that capacity, you kind of have an option. And this is circling back to what a CMO is, what a fractional CMO is. Mm. How are you splitting your time? So my point is businesses get to the point where you start hiring these people. And then as a business manager or a business owner, you are debating between or you're dividing your own time between running the business and needing to manage. And maybe you got started in a trade or whatever type of, you know, style of business you're in. And you're trying to focus on the business, but now you're managing kind of this young group of people. And they may need mentorship. Or you just may be like, you know what? This is just not working. I need experts because I keep, you know, I'm spending money on Google ads. I'm spending money on Facebook ads, but it's not being used effectively. I'm paying for this young group of my young team who I like, but I'm paying for them to fail and fail often because that's going to happen.
That's a shame. So how long have you been, you mentioned Boston. Do you still travel back and forth to Boston? Because you're based in Waterloo region, I believe.
Yeah, so I work virtually, and I've been there a couple times.
Okay, so how do people find you, though? Like, I'd never heard of a fractional CMO until I met you, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful concept, and I understand where you're coming from. So basically, how would the kind of company, you know, that is looking for you, that you're working for now with other companies, how would they know how to find you? How would they know what to look for on Google? And, you know, it's important, isn't it, that we can find you. But I wouldn't have typed in Google, I need a fractional CMO. So how do you get the word out?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody has their own pain point. And when you, if, you know, for your business or, you know, many, like, I wouldn't say local business, obviously this is, you know, nationwide, but for those that kind of need help in the area, they are problem and solution aware. Problem aware being like, I have this team, I can't spend my time, but I also can't afford a full-time CMO because for the price of one CMO, 250 grand, I could hire five people to do the work.
Well, yeah, so I understand that, but how do they find you? Wait, like, let's imagine it's a large organization that can afford you and they're based in Guelph, Ontario. How do they know who you are? Because this podcast is very much about helping other businesses, large, small, medium size. People listen to it just because they want to listen to it. But basically, how do people find people like you? Because I'm always looking for referrals for people. People phone me up and say, Linda, I need this, that, and the other. But nobody's phoned me and said, I want a fractional CMO. So how do people find you, Brody? Where do your referrals come from?
Yeah, so and that comes back to being problem aware. So they may not be asking you if they don't know what us. There's a couple problems. So one, you have awareness of that as a solution because a fractional CMO is kind of a newer role, right? And then at the same time, it's only for this niche group of businesses. So not only do they need to be in a certain segment, they need to be in the B2B SaaS space. So at the root of your question, how do they find you? It's typically through relationships.
Nice. I love it. I've built two businesses that way. And now you've said it and you've told the whole world I'm right at last. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. It's very much all about the relationships today. I've been in business, I think a little bit longer than you, Brody. And many, many years ago, building relationships was not a thing, say 20, 22 years ago. It was all about, you know, jumping straight in, doing the sale. There wasn't the social media like it is today. So what made you come up with this idea? How did you know there was a need for this offering?
Yeah, so the need kind of, well, one, like conceptually, there's a book called The Fractional CMO Method. And I thought it was interesting because for a long time, not only was I working at an agency, but I was helping other businesses in a freelance capacity. And being a strategic person, you're often giving away strategy for free and then you're tying in the service. For example, I think if you're paying me to do SEO, I may give you advice to do X, Y, and Z. But during that advice, I may say, it seems like your market is this, or maybe the problem that you solve is really this. Mm-hmm. You should go after, you know, there's this strategy and then you're really like backfilling that with actual work where the strategy is more important. But yeah, so I kind of fell into it being in a kind of that role through my own job and then seeing kind of like where the pain points are for customers in this specific niche.
So for other people, you know, who might want to jump into this, and I'm thinking now, there's Gen X and there's Gen this and there's Gen that. Which category do you fall into? Just so our listeners who might want to, you know, jump into the same thing as you think to themselves, oh, I'm just graduating college or university. Which Gen are you? Because I have no idea.
I'm actually not sure what Gen I'm in.
You're quite young.
I don't know.
You're very able to do the work. So what I'm thinking is this then. This is a new kind of concept. I'd never heard of it before. Dave had, obviously, the other co-founders. So basically, if someone was going to, you know, say come out of university or college and say, you know, I want to do what Brody's doing, would it be, you know, would they've got the skill set, I would imagine. So then you said about building relationships. So how do you build relationships? How did you get clients by building relationships, Brody?
Yeah, so just a small correction. They don't have the skill set.
They don't?
No. There's absolutely zero possibilities.
That's interesting.
They don't teach these types of things in school. You need actual experience, not only in the tangible skills. Like, you should know how to do things. You should know you should know everything from core marketing, like messaging, branding, to search, like both search engine marketing in the sense that it's like paid and also organic. You should know social. You should essentially know not only of everything, but a small fraction of everything and also have a deep understanding. So,
oh my gosh, I love you so much. You know why? I often have lots of interactions with the colleges and universities, and they do, with the entrepreneur side, they do seem to concentrate on just a few things. And I think what's missing, you know, when I talk to the students is, you know, what you said, building the relationship, but also what you've just said about having a little bit of knowledge about all these things. And then, so how would they, so they're coming out of college or university, they haven't got the skill set, but they want to do what you're doing. Would they like want to work with a company and shadow them maybe to get the experience? How would they do it?
Yeah. So if somebody's coming out of university and let's say they came out of business school, I went to business school myself, read 100 books, just flat out, just keep a checklist and read 100. And whatever, if you're reading 50 books a year, great. If you're reading more, if you're reading less, then it's going to take you a long time to get there. just as a base, read 100 books.
Yeah.
And read every book on marketing, every book on sales, read biographies. I would say just read and do that in your free time, obviously.
Yeah.
And then probably get a job at an agency. An agency gives you exposure to, an agency is hard to work at because you're having to do a lot of work. Your time is being sold to fulfill a service. And say if you're working at somewhere like Intrigue, that is, you know, reputable and they care about their clients, your time that's being sold to work on a small business is like a business can't afford you to not spend the time. You could work at a large corporation and you kind of push paper and probably get away with it for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to get you to a fractional CMO. Like, you're not going to develop the skills that way. So working at an agency where you're forced to maybe write web pages, you're forced to mm-hmm. run ads, you're forced to do certain tasks hundreds of times to get repetitions in. That's going to mm-hmm. give you the skills along with the internal learning that you're doing during your free time. That's how you kind of could accelerate
and
learn something.
Yeah. You think like, I know a lot of very, very clever graduates are coming out of university and college and going along to various organizations and saying, I would like this salary because I'm a graduate and I know everything. And unfortunately, they don't seem to understand what you do. And you know what? You're the only person in all the years I've been offering many different podcast shows that's actually said what I am always saying. You just can't jump in without doing those things. You've mentioned relationships, you've mentioned reading, consistent learning, doing the hard work. And I think this is why, Brody, that you are where you are now and you are in the position where you've already got clients, because you know what you had to do, what you've got to continue doing, and how you... Yeah, so the clients find you, right? The clients find you. Typically, how long do you work with certain organizations? Are you working with different organizations all at the same time?
Yeah, so it depends on the retainer, which would also depend on maybe the size of the team and the amount of support that they need. So let's say, let's say they only need... If you're paying a CMO $250,000, and you want something that's more tangible in a capacity for a small business, so maybe you get a fifth of their time, right? So you're going to pay somebody at the fractional CMO, that the CMO level for a fraction of their time, and maybe it's 1/5. So then, in terms of the time, 1/5 of a 40-hour work week would be 8 hours per week. So you have somebody for basically a couple hours a day, whether they're coming in and leading your team or they're maybe working on some fundamentally like critical pieces. That's how you can kind of split it. And maybe you want not 20% of the time, but you want 40% of the time. It's up to the business really and what they can afford and what they actually need. But the job of the fractional CMO is to delegate and provide the direction so that, and you may pay them per hour higher, and you maybe think, okay, well, why would I pay you for a fifth of your time when I could pay this, you know, college, you know, graduate for full time? Isn't it better to get 40 hours out of their time versus 8 hours of yours? And the answer is no, because you go to invest maybe $10,000 a month in Google Ads, and they just waste all your money because they made a mistake on their settings. They didn't have tracking set up, or maybe they didn't. They set like their anyway. We get into technical details, but you can burn a lot of money really fast, and you would never see it. And that's kind of the errors that a fractional CMO corrects.
Now, a lot of people might look at you and go, "You were lucky to be able to get into this position where you'd built the relationships, maybe through the other work you'd already started doing." Because I believe you work with a family business as well. Is that correct?
I worked with a family business,
So that would have helped you a lot. But I often say to people, it's not about luck. It's about the opportunities that Brody made for himself. It's about the consistent learning and how hard you worked and all those books you read. So it's not typically something that, you know, somebody could just jump into. So I'm guessing you're going to rule the world then if there's not many of you around. And obviously, the smaller, newer businesses are not going to be looking at your services, and that is fine. That is fine. You are looking for a certain kind of organization. Do you ever get confused if you've got, say, 3 or 4 clients in a month or a week even, and you are, you know, going from one to the other and they're all different, I guess, what would you say, industries? Do you ever get confused between them? Go, hang, it's a bit like me being a consultant, you know. I don't get confused. I'm used to, you don't get confused, but yours is more in person, isn't it? Mine's a lot of virtual.
No, actually, most of mine is virtual. Like I have clients in California, Florida, and even within their businesses, people are meeting virtually from Vienna and Germany and Spain, and like, so there's people all over the planet actually coming into calls that we're having.
I love it. And so when people look for you, I'm guessing your name, I love your name, it's so unusual. I'm guessing also that's an asset for your brand because there's not many of you around doing what you do, so they can find you easily online, can't they?
I mean, again, it's something that's mostly relationship driven, because if you're going to, you're not just hiring somebody off the street, even just because, and I do SEO primarily, right, for a living. So in terms of being able to rank for keywords, like I get that. And I've actually helped quite a few members of the community with their local SEO. But I think it needs to be driven through relationships, because I wouldn't want to work with a client that I don't think I can help. And so I only work with clients within a specific type.
So I'm agreeing about the relationships, but in our line of work where we do a lot of global virtual work, so I didn't used to do virtual work so much. I used to travel, you know, around the globe meeting people. And I built the relationships first before I take them on as a client, okay, as a consultant. So that was easy to build a relationship. And, yes, it's mostly referrals for me as well, so people know me. But most of my clients say, well, you were easy to find. You've got longevity and you've got so many, you know, people referring you and testimonials. So in your case, if people are not checking you out online, so somebody referred them to you, and then how do you build the relationship virtually? Because this is really interesting for our listeners to know how to do it, Brody.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in a service-based kind of business, as I am, that relationship is really built. And these, the customers are people that need, that the results that I provide are results that actually impact their job. So they're, I mean, and business owners are not really so different because they own the business, they need to make money as well. But the relationship really stems out of a reputation for providing results.
Now this is interesting. How did they find out about your reputation?
Yeah, so that's in the reputation. When I'm saying reputation, that's coming through, and referrals, that's coming through. Like, essentially, like, I'm not a personal brander. We talked previously, like, I'm not really big into LinkedIn. Although I did say on LinkedIn before our conversation that it's your anniversary today, so congratulations.
Whose anniversary?
Wasn't it your anniversary?
Oh, no, sorry, listeners. So Dave Ocorjena, who is a cybersecurity guy for a large organization, is the other co-founder of the SBCN, the Small Business Division. So basically, 24 years ago, he emigrated from England to Canada. It's a really good love story. I may as well tell the listeners. He fell in love with me. I was living in Canada. So Dave has been in Canada 24 years, and we're celebrating that. It's interesting. It's really interesting. You know why? Because a lot of people, Brody, tell me they don't like meeting people. So what you're telling me is, and it's amazing, people are referring you, you're building the relationship then by getting to know your clients. And, you know, I think it's a lot of techie people who, not you, you're great with people, but I meet a lot of techie people who are wonderful, but they don't like interacting with people face-to-face. So now they know it's possible through listening to this podcast that you can do it virtually and you can get the referrals. I think it's the most amazing thing. And I'm going to tell our people, I mean, they'll see your photo, but you are quite young to be so successful. So what one tip that you'd offer our listeners out there, if they do want to move forward, you've told us that they should read 100 books if possible in their spare time, which I think is great because work's not paying them to read books. Continually learning and building relationships. Is there one other tip you want to leave with us today?
This is advice for a student coming out of college.
So
I guess read and continually learn, actually do the work. And I mean, if you're, maybe you just exited university, but maybe you're still on the precipice of graduation. Essentially, like I said before, with the skills that I've developed, I did not learn them in school. I think what you do learn in school and what you've kind of continuously tied into this is the importance of relationship building. Even in university, everybody around you is going to graduate and get jobs. And 10 years later, there are going to be leaders in organizations who will circle back and then refer you to actually fulfill your service. So if you are going down a route of business ownership in the service business, maybe you're a marketer or provide whatever, then yeah, your business, they'll ultimately be people advocating for you and hiring you to work for the organization. So if they decide to go in more corporate route, those corporations will hire you because of that referral that you and the reputation / relationship you built 10 years prior. So connect with them on LinkedIn now and then reap the now as the everybody's like title is.
I love it.
Everybody's title at university is like, I'm an independent learner and looking forward to getting my first internship or whatever. Basically, I have an education and no experience. Yeah, 10 years from now, they're all going to have titles that you would want to connect with them in 10 years. So connect with them now and build that.
Oh my goodness. You know, we've got to talk after this podcast about something because you are absolutely amazing. Not many people understand whether you are at university, at high school, whether you're already in a corporate job or whether you're operating your own business. They don't understand that relationships are not always about the here and now. They pay off in maybe sometimes weeks, months, years. And for you to tell the students that, that's absolutely wonderful because that is the song that I sing every time I present at the colleges, universities as a volunteer. And I say, please don't forget the people. So we've got a wonderful member, Brody. I don't know whether you've connected to him. Well, we've got loads of wonderful members. But this one in particular, Brad Poulos, if you haven't connected to him yet, he's a university professor. He did own a large, successful business with his brother, which they sold. That's another story. But by you connecting with him as well, I think that will give you more outreach for your referrals. But you have wowed me out. You say, I think I like you because you're a little bit like me. I'm not techie, but it's the background that we offer to people. This is how we got here. This is what you should do. And, you know, not many people say that today. They're all in a rush to sell. So thank you so much. I would love you at one, you know, when you have time to come back and further the podcast and talk about, you know, other topics that would help other people. So thank you for your time. I truly appreciate it and have a wonderful day.